All right, today we're going to conclude the 33rd chapter of Tanya, with God's help. And so far what we've learned is that we can take joy in our heritage and the remarkable privilege that we have to be members of Am Yisrael, and just as a person would rejoice if they discovered that they had become the recipient of a huge, for example, inheritance or something else like that. So even more so, we should be joyous for the Yerusha that Hashem has thrown into our lap, and that is that we have a holy neshama, that Hashem has chosen us as being His special children. And as such, a person should feel the kirvas alikim, the closeness to God, and that should bring him joy. And the Alter Rebbe explained the meaning of the Gemara's statement, Bo Chavakuk v'hamidin al achas. Chavakuk came and he established all of Judaism on one principle. We went through a whole bunch of different moments in Jewish history where it seems to be whittled down from 613 to smaller amounts all the way down to one. And the point, he said, was that if a person fulfills this idea of emunah, of faith in Hashem, through deep contemplation and awareness of God's presence, and he finds joy in this, so then everything else will fall into place. And that's the meaning of the Hamidin al-Achas, not Chas v'Shalom, that a person is only going to get away with one mitzvah, Chas v'Shalom, the 613 mitzvahs. And who are we to weigh or measure the value of a mitzvah? But the point is that this mitzvah becomes a segue to fulfilling all the mitzvahs. And we talked about joy, and we talked about serving Hashem with a sense of happiness and joy because of the privilege that we have. All right. So the Alter Rebbe now speaks about finding joy in God, and he speaks about this in a very unique way, as you will see. V'hi, and this ultimately takes us in a direction of simcha kfulo mechupelas, of a joy, this simcha which comes after the deep contemplation, which yields to the awareness. That if it comes to a simcha kfulo mechupelas, to a joy which is double and quadrupled, and the Alter Rebbe now will explain, what does it mean kfulo mechupelas? Kfulo means doubled, and mechupelas means quadrupled. So what is the double nature of what he's referring to? And what the Alter Rebbe is going to explain here is that this brings us to two distinct different approaches with regard to joy, finding joy in our everyday life. There's two things here. That the emphasis here is going to be kfulo mechupelas, that there's two different things. One was the joy that, hey, we lucked out, we won the lottery. Hashem loves us. He chose us. He selected us. He gave us all these amazing opportunities, and we are close to Hashem. And fulfilling that sense of closeness to Hashem, that sense of oneness with God, we're able to find joy. The Alter Rebbe says there's something else here. In addition to the joy of soul, to the inner joy, which comes to the person who ruminates on and deeply contemplates the closeness to Hashem that is necessarily ours if we want. It's ours for the taking. You know, the Kutzke Rebbe once said, where is God? So everybody looked at him quizzically. The Rebbe is asking, where is God? So they said, what do you mean, Rebbe? Where is God? He said, I'll tell you where God is. God is wherever you let him in. If you let him in, that's where God is. In other words, he's right here. Are you open to it? That's the question. So when a person, through deep contemplation, comes to this awareness of kirvas Hashem and dirase itei imei, that oidzais, furthermore, the Alter Rebbe gives you now another ingredient or another strategy of yismach bekiflayim, of finding a double sense of joy, besimchas Hashem, in the joy of God. What does it mean in the joy of God? The goydol nachas ruach lefanav yisbarach, that we are able to bring a tremendous amount of pleasure, of satisfaction. Nachas doesn't translate easily. Every one of us knows what nachas is. But nachas is a good Yiddish word, a good Hebrew word. Right? It comes from an inner sense of joy when things are, your dreams and aspirations are being fulfilled, especially through your own children, which is maybe a great source of angst to many, but also could be a great source of joy. And it's precisely because of that. Because it could be a source of angst, that's why it could be a source of joy, and the other way around. It's because our children are very close to us. So because our children are close to us, it touches us. Everything about them touches us in a very deep way. And therefore, when they are the way they're supposed to be, and they become the extension of what we dreamed and hoped for, then that provides us with nachas. Nachas. So Hashem has nachas. He has nachas from us. We create nachas ruach. We create this pleasing spirit before Har Lefanav Yisbarach b'emunazu. When you have this emunah, when you know with certitude that God is with you, and that you're never alone, and that everything that happens, happens for a purpose and a reason, and that in Hashem's love for you, and Hashem's closeness to you. God is available. You just have to open the door and let him in. So when you have that kind of sense, that feeling about you, what happens is that you're able to find joy in Hashem's joy. And this is other than what we spoke about before. This is another element. We're talking now about a different dimension. And the Alter Rebbe explains that what he refers to when he says this, there's the simcha that a person feels in being close to Hashem. What's called kirvas elikim, close to God. Litoiv, people want to be close to God. If you gave out pills that would make people feel close to God, everybody would take the pills. In fact, many people are taking different forms of narcotics. Why? Because they feel it will bring them closer to God. But it's not so. Because it's something external. It's not something real. You're not revealing something from inside. It looks like, we just saw now last night a video that a fellow asked the Rebbe, who was very into drugs in his youth, and then he came to Yiddishkeit, and he asked the Rebbe, is marijuana a appropriate way to achieve religious consciousness? He asked the Rebbe this question. And so when he asked the Rebbe that question, he had in mind really hard narcotics, harder drugs as well. And he said the Rebbe's answer encapsulated everything. The Rebbe said to him that when you take the narcotic, you start to feel like you're getting something, but the Rebbe says it's an elusive feeling, and in the end, it's nothing. There's nothing to it. It's a false sense. And that false sense, he says, leads you into a dark place, and that's klipa v'sitracha. That's the other side. It's the opposite of godliness. In other words, godliness is achieved through effort and through achievement, through hard work. The closeness with God is not achieved by accident, not a foreign substance which induces a feeling of closeness to God. Of course, many people ask, what's the difference between alcohol and drugs? And that's a very good question. And the simple answer, and it's an oversimplification, is that narcotics and drugs, they create a false sense. It's not you. It leaves you behind and you enter into a false reality. Whereas alcohol brings out who you really are. Maybe you're not so happy with who you really are, but alcohol brings forth your, as it says, nichnas yayin yotzasayit, wine in, secrets out, it brings forth what's really inside. And that's a very, very big difference. One is something external which isn't you, one is revealing something which is you by dropping inhibitions, and you feel comfortable expressing yourself and expressing what your real feelings are. At any rate, neither is really the way to have joy in God. Not alcohol, nor marijuana, nor narcotics. But the simcha in Hashem comes from deep effort and contemplation that leads us in the direction of a simcha tzuma, of a great joy in knowing that Hashem is close, and I can feel that closeness. And as I said, if it was bottled, if it could be done easy, everybody would reach for it. But if it has hard work, many people fall away. And the second is the simcha atzuma, the great joy that through your avoda, you're making God happy. God, the King of all kings, the Master of all masters, the Creator of the universe, actually cares about you. And he has nachas. When you behave appropriately, God has nachas. When you behave inappropriately, well, that's the other way around. Or at least the nachas is missing. And that is to say, the iskafya sitra achra mamash. How does a Jew bring joy to God? How does anybody bring joy to God? How do you do that? What does God need? How could you give God something that God doesn't have? If God is omnipotent and all perfect, what can we provide that brings God nachas? So the Alter Rebbe here quotes a Zohar. The Zohar says, the iskafya sitra achra mamash, crushing the sitra achra, literally, transforming the darkness into light. This is the darkness of the klipa, of the husk and the peel that's in this world, which darken and throw shade on the presence of God. In other words, the way God created the world is that there's darkness in the world. Darkness means the absence of God's presence. And through this absence of God's presence, we're able to feel independent. Now, independence is a dangerous thing. Because independence, on one hand, allows us to feel like we can make a choice, like we can do a mitzvah, and that's wonderful. But the double-edged sword is that independence also affords us the distinct possibility of denying God altogether. And this is a problem. It's a fraught endeavor. It's like you go into business, a lot of people make investments and lose everything. So Hashem makes a big investment in us. His hope is that we will not get overwhelmed by the darkness, but we'll see past the darkness, and in fact, we'll turn the darkness that he put us into the other way around. We'll crush the darkness, and in the end, turn it into light. If that happens, Hashem has tremendous nachas. If it doesn't happen, well, then that's not very unfortunate. Then the Kalipa Sitra Achar takes over. So a simple example could be, and it's a very lame metaphor, that you have there's a small child, and the parents have nachas when the child kind of behaves, does what the child's supposed to do. I'm not talking about behaving nicely. I'm talking about like a little baby. Like, you know, you play a game with a little baby, and the baby's clever, and the baby responds, and the baby realizes you're hiding, and he finds you, and he laughs, and you have nachas that, hey, this kid's thinking, you know, like there's a live wire here. And when they laugh at the right time, and they're not happy at the right time, they're able to see past you where you went to hide, and they came looking for you, and they knew where to find you. And you're like, wow, you think that's so cute, right? And you find joy in it. This is like the game, if you will, that Hashem's playing with us. So Hashem hides himself, and he puts all this darkness out there. And if we actually say, 1 second, where's God? Where's God? I got to see past this darkness. And we crush the darkness, meaning we get past the darkness, and we start to see the presence of God, even though it's not organically available. It's not easy to see the presence of God. If we do that, we bring Hashem nachas. We bring Hashem joy. And that joy can make us happy. Because if you knew and believed that you were making God happy, you'd be happy too. The reason that we're not happy from these things is because we don't really believe, deep down we do, but on the surface, we don't believe that God actually cares. We don't believe that God's actually happy from this. If we would believe that God is actually happy from this, we would for sure do it. And we would be happy too. But this is our problem. We don't have enough faith. Aha, this goes back to the beginning. If you have the faith and know that Hashem is happy with this, then you'll find joy in it as God finds joy in it. And this is the idea that God placed a world, created a world full of darkness. And he wants us to get past the darkness. Ad eis keitz, until the time that the end arrives. K'mesh kasuv, like it says in the book of Job in the 28th chapter, keitz shom l'cheshech. God placed an end, a border to the darkness. What does this mean on a literal level? The pasuk, the verse is speaking about night and day. So there's a domain of night, and then the domain of night ends, and the sun rises, and day and light arrives. And that's how it is. Keitz shom l'cheshech. God causes the sun to set, night falls, and then night ends. But in a deeper meaning, night here refers to Golos. Night here refers to the reality of the world till Mashiach comes. And when that darkness will end, a very different world is going to emerge. The Hainu, that is to say, Keitz Hayamin, what's referred to by the prophet Daniel as the Keitz, the appointed time, the end of the Yamin, of the right. Now, right is a euphemism. It's a metaphor. It's not a political statement. And has nothing to do with being a righty or lefty per se. But right means that there's a stronger side and a weaker side within every person. Even though God created us pretty perfectly, and we're very well balanced, but nonetheless, God created us a little off-kilter. Almost all people have a stronger side and a weaker side. And most people, it's the right side, not the left side. Some people, it's the left side. So the Torah says a lefty is in his right mind, literally. But the point is that a lefty is just, his left is everybody else's right. The point is not left or right. The point is one side which is stronger. And since the Torah al pi rov tadaber, since Torah speaks by the majority of people are right oriented, not left oriented. But that off kilter nature is the idea of chesed, which is overpowering and overwhelming. That's why God made a stronger side and a weaker side. We certainly need discipline in our life, but we need more generosity in our life. We need more kindness in our life. We need more friendship in our life. For every critical word you hear, if you want to be able to effectively, every criticism you give, pardon me, you have to give 10 compliments, especially to your children. They don't want to hear anything negative, especially these days. So you have to make sure you're giving positive messages out there. Of course, there needs to be, can't say endless positive. Hi, Mom, I just killed somebody. I'm so proud of you. What? You did what? That doesn't work. Like, you have to, obviously, it has to be discipline, and you have to be able to put the, listen, you got to be kidding. That doesn't work. But at the same time, there has to be a greater emphasis on positive reinforcement. So that's called Keitz Hayamin. That's when the right will win. The right meaning the side of chesed. The right meaning the side of light. And smoil is the other side. It's interesting that in the ancient world, an attack on the left could be fatal. Tell me why. An attack on the right, in the world where people live by the sword, so attack on the right, you could pull your sword out and defend yourself. But attack on the left, let's say a hunter, right? A wild animal attacks him. So if it's an attack on the left, he has to pull his sword because he held the sword in the right hand. He has to reorient himself, and that those few seconds could make all the difference. So do you know the word sinister? Sinister in English. What does it mean? Dark. Mm-hmm. threatening, makes you uncomfortable. The word sinister comes from the Latin word sineste, which sineste means left, because an attack on the left was sinister. That's what we mean over here. This is all that euphemism. And this is like the prophet Zechariah said, "Sheyaveh ruach hatuma min ha'aretz," that the spirit of impurity will be removed from the earth as we know it. And as Yeshayahu Navi said, "The Mashiach will come, v'nigla k'vayd havayev v'rol kol basar yachdav," the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see this together. Ukameshi's Barla, come on, as Alter Rebbe is going to explain in chapters later, in 36 and 37, where he speaks about what happens when Mashiach comes. So this is the meaning of Ketz Amlach Eishech. There's this darkness. But until the Ketz, until the time comes, there's a lot of darkness out there. And until that time comes, we have to struggle with the darkness. And the point then is this. Because there's darkness created by God, and because that darkness can be overwhelmed and can be crushed and can be transcended, if we want to, if we try hard enough to, if we're empowered and motivated and committed. So then this brings about a tremendous amount of joy for Hashem when we actually do it. And this is especially in Chutz La'aretz. Ubefrat b'chutz la'aretz, especially outside of the land of Israel, sha'aver eretz ha'am en tomi, that the land, the air outside of Israel, the atmosphere is impure. Now on a literal level, this means, this is a technical halacha of purity and impurity, that if a person is in, even in the, so to speak, didn't touch the ground, but even above the ground, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is that we don't know where graves are. We could be sitting for all we know on an aboriginal grave site that's 4,000, 5,000 years old, and therefore we're necessarily going to all be tummy. And the Chachamim combed Eretz Yisrael, they cleansed Eretz Yisrael, but outside Eretz Yisrael, if a person is there, we have to assume that they're tummy, even if they don't walk in Eretz Yisrael, even if they were carried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Come home, you're tummy, and you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. But this has a deeper meaning then, as a euphemistic meaning. There's a halachic technicality. But Aver Eretz Yisrael tummy means that there's something impure, there's something dense about the air outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, one could argue that there's a density in Eretz Yisrael today too. That's true. That's all the sign of Galut. Galut, the Galus reality, means Eretz Yisrael is not functioning as Eretz Yisrael should function either. There's a tremendous amount of impurity, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael also. But it's greater outside Eretz Yisrael. And that is, that is to say that if a Yid toils in Avedas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, he will have an easier time of achieving success because he's closer to Hashem. You have better reception there. The atmosphere is less dense. It's less materially oriented. And because of this, because the land outside of Eretz Yisrael is mole klipes v'sitra achra, because it's full of klipes v'sitra achra, vein simcha lefanav yizbarech ha'ira v'simcha, you don't have a joy before Hashem like the light and the joy of Yisrin haba minachayshach daika. When the darkness comes, light comes from the darkness. So what does this mean, light comes from the darkness? This, of course, is a verse in Koheles, Ecclesiastics, where Shlomo HaMelech says that I have seen that there's a Yisrin lechachma min asichlus, that wisdom is better, more virtuous than stupidity. And there's a virtue in light over darkness. And of course, the Zohar asked the question, did you need Shlomo HaMelech to come to that conclusion? So, wow, what a brilliant observation. Intelligent talk is better than stupid things. Light is better than darkness. There's a virtue in light over darkness. What is Shlomo HaMelech's point? You have to be a Chacham Mikaladim to come to that. Any person with half a brain in his head knows that. A child knows that. And the Zohar explains something very interesting. The Yisrin Ha'er Min HaChoshech doesn't mean that light is appreciated when I was in a situation of darkness or when I contrast it with darkness. Yisrin Ha'er Min HaChoshech means that when the light is created out of the darkness, out of the darkness, it means out of a dark situation you create something positive. That is an achievement. That's impressive, Shlomo HaMelech says. When you take a good situation and make it good, or make it better, that's nice. When you take a bad situation, turn that around, that is a real surprise, and that brings joy. Do you know that humor is based on the element of surprise? A good punchline, if a punchline in a joke is predictable, it's not funny. The only way it's funny is if it's not predictable. That's what humor is based on the element of surprise. So good jokes are based on, you deliver a set of reality, and then boom, like the punchline came from out of nowhere, people find that funny. This is actually what creates joy in general. Things which are unusual, things which are challenging, things which couldn't or shouldn't be. When you have a situation which couldn't or shouldn't be, and suddenly it is, you say, "Wow, that's amazing!" When the parrot gets up and starts talking and holds an intelligent conversation, it's like, "Wow, what are you so excited for?" The person could talk also. Look, because the parrot's talking, and that's like, "Wow, that's unusual." So when we have something that's doing something unusual, something different, then this causes some kind of reaction to us. You know, when there's a guys in Vegas hobble open the lion's mouth and they stick their head into the lion's thing and then they come out until he actually chomps down one time. But it's like, wow, that's amazing. And it's what the whole circus is based on the unusual. Not the expected, the unexpected. So this is the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's simcha that comes not from the expected but from the unexpected. We are like the talking bird, the parrot, says in Lakut HaTeira. This is what brings Hashem joy. We're like the circus act because we're put into a dark reality. And in this dark reality, we shouldn't actually be able to figure this out. And on the surface, nobody does. Lots of smart people go south, go the wrong direction. And they look at this world and they come to the conclusion that there is no God and that the whole idea of divinity and godliness is mumbo-jumbo and it's opiate of the masses and all the other narishkeit that people say. But when somebody actually gets through the darkness, and instead of being overwhelmed by the darkness, he uses the darkness to reorient himself and sublimate his reality, what does this do? So what this does is, in effect, it brings a simcha before Hashem. And that simcha, this is a tremendous foundation in the concept of Avodas Hashem. Because when the Yid has this, creates this joy on high, and then he knows that he's creating this joy on high, it could be a source of joy for you too. This is the meaning that Yisrael should be joyous with his or her doing. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. Yismach Yisrael be'esav. Peter says the Alter Rebbe, Shekol mishuhu mizere Yisrael, that anybody who is from the seed of Yisrael, yesh le l'smayach, he should be joyous. Why should he be joyous? I'm so happy I'm Jewish. Why am I happy I'm Jewish? Because b'simchas Hashem, I should take joy in God's joy. Asher sos v'someach, that Hashem is delighted b'dirasi b'tachtenim. When you actually know God, despite the fact that this world is so dark, when you actually get to look past that smoke screen, and when you overlook that obfuscation, and you achieve what Hashem wants you to, despite the fact that you're in this enormous obstacle course, guess what? Hashem is happy. And we should be happy in the joy that was generated for Hashem. That's the Alter Rebbe's point here.
Rabbi.
Yep. It's a good question. It's a good point. God can't be surprised. God knows the future. Right. So the it's a euphemism. When I talk about the element of the joke being the element of surprise, obviously it's euphemistic. The point is, it's the non-natural path. It's a non-natural path.
But if he already knows what we're capable of, he knows what we're going to do, then he knows we're going to achieve that anyway.
Understood. So that question ultimately cuts to the whole notion of creation altogether. So why do I need to have creation when Hashem will have us do all these mitzvahs and overcome all dark? And then in the end, Mashiach will come. Didn't God know that to begin with?
That's an element of surprise.
Yeah. And it's the free choice component.
But he's saying, but the free choice component, but God knows that you're going to choose. So why does he have joy in your free choice? Okay. Huh?
We're not so special.
It's not about us. It's about God's joy. There is an element here of what we can't fathom. There is an element of divinity. We're created in God's image, but God's not created in our image. So there's a certain element of what we're never going to be able to fathom about that. But nonetheless, Hashem says, yes, I take joy in your being an iconoclast, and you're not doing what was typical or what's natural. You're not going with the flow. So if a person goes with the flow, he'll say, I want to figure this out by myself. No, it doesn't work like that. If you leave things to their own devices, they will not work themselves out. Oftentimes people say, out of laziness, well, it'll work itself out. I'm like, no, it won't. Why is it going to work? Nothing works itself out. You have to make things right. You have to work at things for them to be right. And Hashem gives us the opportunity to make it right. And when we make it right, we take the darkness and turn it the other way. And that brings Hashem joy. And that's the Simchas Hashem. That's the joy of Hashem. Asher sos v'someach b'dirasi b'tachtenim. We talk about this world, that it's a very literal, physical, material, terrestrial place. And that's why it says, Be'oisav, Lashon Rabim. Oisav is plural, because Hashem is Echad, about unity, but the world doesn't reflect that unity. We call it a universe, but people really look at it as a multiverse. People look at it as all kinds of different causes that seem disparate and don't operate together in tandem. So because the world and Klipa is all about independence and separation from Hashem, it's the opposite of oneness, which this is the definition of Elam Hazah, Gashmi, the physical world, which is full of Klipa and Sitra Achra, full of darkness on the other side, Shenikra, which is also referred to in the Zohar as Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, meaning a wild jungle, Tura de Pruda. There's this idea of being separate, this apartness and separateness. When I turn that into light, I civilize the wild jungle. I turn that which is filled with all kinds of forces into a recognition and awareness of the one force, the Einel Movadei of Hashem. So then, when a Yid makes that Rishus HaYachad, L'Yichudei Yizbarech, Be'emunazu, to the oneness of Hashem, with this emuna, with this faith, then that brings Hashem joy. And that joy can make us happy. But that resides very squarely in the domain and arena of faith. We have to believe this. It is true, but we have to believe it. If we believe it, if we believe this emes, we know that Hashem is happy with us and He delights in what we're doing. So you're in a mundane situation and you have so many challenges and you're overwhelmed. So why is this happening to me? This, I'm so miserable about this. And then you stop and you think and you remember that Hashem has joy. If I'll get past all this, if I will not be overwhelmed by this nesoyim, by this test, and if I will overcome it, I'm going to bring so much joy to Hashem. Then that joy that you create for Hashem gives you joy in turn. And so in the worst of situations, in the darkest of moments, a Yid has the ability to turn his life into joy by reminding himself that it's through this greatest darkness that Hashem has the greatest joy, and you ultimately can delight in that. And that's how we can find joy in everyday life. And with this, we conclude Perek Lamed Gimel.